What's your record? It's South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, Judith Bishop speaks with the executive director of the Bass Museum of Art, Sylvia Carmen Cubina, about current and upcoming exhibitions and offerings. Charles Greenfield discusses the Dranoff International Two-Piano Competition and their Grand Slam event with executive director Carlene Sawyer. We welcome Chef Norman Van Aken to the program with his offering, A Word on Food, and our Florida Keys Arts Calendar features Andy Newman. It's the technology that refuses to die. Albums, LPs, vinyl, whatever you might call it, the humble record has had a resurgence over the past few years. Sales are up, and currently bands are releasing special projects only on the vinyl format. Nationally, Record Store Day takes place every April 20th across the country and in Europe. Locally, Sweat Records in Miami leads the celebration of humble vinyl with its annual Sweat Stock, a free all-ages block party featuring dozens of bands performing on three stages and many special vinyl offerings in their store. Joining us today to talk about the resurgence of vinyl, Sweat Records' 8th anniversary and the 4th annual Sweat Stock Street Party is the founder of Sweat Records, Ms. Lauren Reskin. Good to have you back on the show, Lauren.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for having me back.
We are very excited that we made it this far into the 4th annual Sweat Stock. Your shop is still in business, and I guess that bodes well for the survival of vinyl in this digital age. What has the recent resurgence in the manufacture and sale of record albums done for Sweat Records?
Well, we like to think we're also a part of that because, you know, we are promoting the format and trying to get it into the hands of as many people as possible to stoke people's interests in it and, you know, hopefully start a lot of new collectors down the road toward their own fulfilling, wonderful record collections. So the resurgence in vinyl has been great. The inventory of our store has changed a lot. In the beginning, we had a lot more CDs. Now we've cut that way down just to make room for way more records.
Wow. Wow, that's significant. And, of course, you also sell turntables.
Yes. And we're actually working on expanding that inventory as well.
Wow. So this is really significant when it reaches this kind of, proportions all over the country. Tell us, Sweat Stock is into its 4th edition tomorrow at Sweat Records, 5505 Northeast 2nd Avenue in Miami's Little Haiti. And it's been a marvelous 3 years of building this wonderful free street party up. Tell us what is to be expected this year, tomorrow, at Sweat Stock 4.
Well, we open first at 9 a.m. in the morning for all the Record Store Day exclusives, which I'm sure we'll get into. But the main part of the festival starts outside at 2 p.m. with the Sweat Street Stage, which is just the whole block north of our store. And Churchill's, which we are next door to, the venerable music venue, we have two stages over there that will be running from the afternoon late into the night. And we've also got food trucks and all sorts of extra things.
Now, let's start talking about the bands. The bands, you always get together voluminous lists of great musicians, and some are very brand new to my eye, certainly. Let's talk about Sweat Street Stage tomorrow at 2 o'clock in Little Haiti.
Well, we have, for the street stage, a variety of different acts and some classic Miami performers that we love and have had back over the years, like Otto von Schirach. A&R are one of the best bands down here, and they're actually doing
one
of my favorites, definitely. And they're performing with a 7-piece band, which is special because usually they're 2 or 3-piece. So they've got some backup singers and surprises, I'm sure, in their set list. Beat Machines are a side project of Afro Beta, the popular electro pop group. And Beat Machines is a little bit more of an improv freestyle thing, but very funky, very fun. And all kinds of other stuff. I mean, Cognomen are a kind of a newer band from some veterans of the scene, and it's kind of this really interesting ambient rock, but there's vocals and it's very listenable. And it's just some younger bands that we wanted to, you know, kind of put on the stage and give everyone a chance. We kind of rotate the bands throughout the years.
So the music moves inside Churchill's in the evening?
Well, the street stage goes until 11, so we kind of have stuff running all over. So we encourage people to flow throughout the entire block and, you know, just go see new things and see what piques your fancy.
Now, let's talk about who will be playing in Churchill's, and don't mention the name of that group,
please. Yeah, there's a few bands whose names are unmentionable. Sorry about that.
Treat me tenderly, please, Laura.
You can see it on our website.
But Holly Hunt?
Holly Hunt are a fantastic duo from Miami. They are kind of a metal group, but more of a sort of slow, meditative, heavy. And they're really fantastic. They're getting some really amazing national press from music communities. And I think they're definitely one of the best and tightest acts around the scene right now. So we're really excited that they are in town and headlining our stage over at Churchill's.
Maybe we can approach it like this, because I see it's
there's just so many bands to
talk
about. It
includes one of our great friends, Kenny Millions. His new band is called World of, shall I say, merde?
Yeah, World of Stuff.
Stuff. And Kenny is part. Kenny's a magnificent performer and musician. He's part of the Churchill's stage, which takes off after 5 p.m. tomorrow. Centuries and some of the other bands?
Yeah, no, I mean, the stage was curated by Speed Freak Presents, which is a local promoter that puts together a lot of shows, mostly at Churchill's and some other places around town. So we kind of wanted to involve some other entities in the community and let them, you know, kind of curate their own stage. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they're doing the inside stage, and then the back patio stage is the experimental label Roofless Records, who we love.
Now, the outside, the roofless stage, as they call it in Churchill's, is the one out back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the back patio stage.
I'm glad to see you got my guys, the Gold Dust Lounge, starting that off tomorrow at 7 o'clock. They'll be performing
great.
I believe, June 21st on the show, so you're going to have to come.
Oh, excellent.
Love the Gold Dust Lounge. But who else will be appearing on the roofless stage at 7 o'clock tomorrow at Churchill's?
Well, they actually got a few bands from France who are in town. There are bands from Rochester, from Louisiana, and then a bunch of locals. And it's going to be a lot of really interesting sort of experimental music. A lot of it borders on performance art. Miami's own International Noise Conference curator, Rot Bastard, which I believe I can say on the air.
Noam, love
him. Okay. So, yeah, it should be, I mean, at the very least, interesting eye candy and ear candy. So I encourage everyone to check it out, even if you don't think it's your thing. Just go see what it's about.
Now, Sweat Records will be offering a lot of really fun stuff. Let's talk briefly about what kind of vinyl specials you have, and then what other offerings you're giving the audiences.
Sure. Well, the Record Store Day exclusives are only available for ordering for stores who sign a pledge saying that they're going to abide by a certain set of rules. We're not going to jack the prices up. We're not going to hold them to sell on eBay later, you know, and we stick to that. And so we've ordered from a huge handful of distributors across America, and we're really excited. A lot of the pieces are incredibly limited edition, so it was hard for us sometimes to even get our hands on one copy.
Great collectibles.
But there's a lot of, absolutely, for any music fan.
Any Tom Waits?
I don't think he has one this year. Dylan does. Bowie does, and Rolling Stones, and Big Star, Big Mama Thornton. There's all kinds of, you know, older acts, and then a lot of new stuff and some kind of classic indie things. Reissues from Sigur Rós at the drive-in. A lot of these albums haven't been in print in a really long time. And then a lot of new stuff and even some interesting formats. The band MGMT, who are sort of a indie act, have a cassette for Record Store Day tomorrow.
Wow, we're going back. Please, don't mention 8-tracks.
No, there's no 8-tracks for Record Store Day this year.
Nobody's got an 8-track player anymore. But yeah. I still use cassettes. That's a brave admission. what other things are you going to be offering? I hear you've got free Panther coffee. What's that all about?
Well, Panther makes fantastic coffee, as I think a lot of people in Miami know.
And you're vegan.
The Sweat is a vegan-friendly coffee bar. So all the stuff we carry is friendly to that. You know, and if you're lactose intolerant, it works for lots of people. And it's delicious. So we have Panther Coffee. They're going to be giving away cold brew during the day, which will be nice because I'm sure it'll be a little warm out. And we have our Casa de Jaja comics, who are going to be introducing bands and doing some ticket giveaways on stage, thanks to Live Nation. So definitely when you see the comedians go up, pay attention because they're going to be giving out tickets to concerts. We have a really cool thing that I'm really happy about. There's a nonprofit in Alapata called the Motivational Edge, and they offer after-school tutoring to kids, and they also give them classes on lyricism, on writing music, on recording in a studio. So some of the kids from that program are going to be performing on stage.
Magnificent. Now, of course, we've got all sorts of websites for Sweat Records, sweatrecordsmiami.com, sweatshopmiami.com, and we also want to mention that Radioactive Records up in Fort Lauderdale will be joining in the special record store day. Uncle Sam's on Miami Beach yesterday and today on Bird Road. And let me mention just briefly John Miller, who runs the Record Collector Swap Meet, say quarterly, and his next sale is May 19th up in Fort Lauderdale, and you can call him at 954-815-7625 or email him at oldies@bellsouth.net. Lauren, any other contact information that you could give out regarding the massive effort nationally for Record Store Day?
Yeah, definitely check out recordstoreday.com. You can find a whole list of all the official releases for this year and lots of really great quotes from artists and people in the industry and fans about why vinyl is so important to them, why record stores are so important to them. They were definitely important to me growing up, and that's part of why I wanted to start Sweat to begin with. So definitely check that out. If you're doing the social media thing, tag RSD13. We're trying to get it trending all over the world because Record Store Day is important, and we love it. And it's the it's the sixth one this year.
We've got about 30 seconds for you to say thank you to your great staff.
Yes, I love my staff. Thank you, Emily, Jason, Farah. Thank you so much to our amazing regular customers. We love you. You order awesome music, and we're happy to serve you all the time. Thanks to Brian Butler, one of the best illustrators in Miami, who did the artwork for Sweatstock. Thank you to all the bands and DJs donating their time and all the amazing local businesses who threw in to be sponsors of this year's event.
Lauren, thank you so much. Lauren Reskin, owner of Sweat Records, located at 5505 Northeast 2nd Avenue in Miami. Little Haiti, call them at 786-693-9309 or go to sweatrecordsmiami.com for more information. Thanks again, Lauren. Good luck.
Thank you, Ed.
Welcome back to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on our program, Charles Greenfield speaks with Carlene Sawyer about the upcoming Dranoff International two-piano competition and their Grand Slam event. We welcome to the show renowned chef Norman Van Aken, who gives us a word on food. And our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. Now, Judith Bishop takes us to one of South Florida's finest art museums, celebrating its 50th anniversary, located on Miami Beach.
A visit to the Bass Museum is an opportunity to travel through time and experience art from the Renaissance and Baroque periods right up to the present day. The museum's located in the Collins Park section of Miami Beach. It was founded in 1963 when John and Joanna Bass donated their private collection, numbered about 500 pieces. The collection included paintings, sculptures, and tapestries. In an effort to keep pace with changing times and tastes, the Bass Museum constantly augments the traditional art with contemporary works from new artists. In addition, the Bass offers educational programs that target art lovers, from toddlers to retirees, local residents, business leaders, and tourists. Sylvia Carmen Cubino is executive director and chief curator. Before joining the Bass, she worked as a curator in San Francisco and Milwaukee and was a curator at the Moore Space in Midtown Miami. Ms. Cubina is a juror for the Guggenheim Museum's Hugo Boss Award and serves as the director of the Knight Foundation's advisory board. She is our guest today on South Florida Arts Beat. Sylvia Carmen Cubina, thank you so much for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat. When you joined the Bass Museum almost 5 years ago, what were your first impressions and what were your major goals?
Well, we had a lot of work to do, and it was actually it was a responsibility, but it was also a great opportunity. Diane Camber, who had been there for 30 years and built the organization and built the building, the new building that we inherited, had retired. So I came on, and we had a board of two people. and we had a reduced staff. So it was really rebuilding an organization that had been without a director because Diane had left and there was 18 months with no director, with an interim director. So the institution was in need of a lot of programming and fundraising and just building people around it. So it's really, I think that has been the most challenging and wonderful of the things that we've had to do these past years.
That situation sounds like a plus and a minus. The minus is you were short-staffed, but the plus was you could build it for your vision of the future of the museum.
It was everything, minus, plus, and it was everything in between. But I think it all evens out being a plus.
What are the specific changes that you're proudest of?
Well, we have the only Egyptian gallery in the state of Florida. So it's a wonderful opportunity for a lot of school children and people who don't like to travel or cannot travel to come to our museum, to the Bass Museum, to see the Egyptian gallery. We have mummies and we have the whole story of the Egyptian mythology there. I think we're very proud of the opening of the new door onto Collins Park. We're very lucky that the city of Miami Beach finished constructing Collins Park and moving it back to where it was in historical times. So it's really beautiful and it's very faithful to history, to what that park looked like when it was made. And we're very lucky to have our door opening onto the park and to the ocean.
You certainly are. It's a very impressive entrance. And I think when you enter a museum, people want to be impressed and welcomed into some grandeur, which you've done quite nicely. Looking into the future, what are your biggest challenges, say, over the next 2 to 3 years at the Bass Museum?
Oh, well, there's a list. You know, it's all about challenges, but it's such a creative process that really I think we look at these challenges as how do we do the thing that we like to do the best? And I think that bringing more people, serving more people would be a big challenge. You have Miami Beach, you have parking issues. Yes, let's throw it out because a lot of people talk about it, but we overcome it with valet parking once in a while. We have just the psychological barriers of some people who are not used to going to museums. We want to bring those down. We want to take the myth out of walking into a museum. It's a fun place. It's an active place, and it's a place for everybody. And I think that is my biggest wish. And my biggest challenge, our biggest challenge, because the whole staff works on it on a daily basis.
Every leader and every curator has a hallmark or a vision. If you had to boil down your hallmark as a curator, what would it be? What kinds of things do you want to present to the people of South Florida?
Well, I must say that it has to boil down to our mission statement. Because I was, again, lucky. I keep saying that I was lucky because I am very lucky. Our board of directors aligned behind this vision that we have a historical collection and Miami is a place of contemporary art. So our mission statement boils down to we inspire and educate by exploring the connections between our historical collection and contemporary art. So we make those bridges. We have this historical collection. It's about understanding what's historical and how it's relevant to the present.
Well, speaking of the present, you have a terrific exhibition now. It's jewelry from Picasso to Koons. What was the catalyst? How did it all come together?
I saw the exhibition in the Museum of Art and Design in New York City. The Bass Museum is the fifth venue that it travels to, but every time it goes to a different venue, it changes. It's recurated. The curator is Diane Vinet, and she's from Paris. So this has been at IVAM in Valencia. It's been to, it's been in France. It's been in Greece. And next, it's going on a tour of Asia. So it really is an international exhibition in all the sense of the words. So this exhibition, I saw it, and it immediately struck me because I know about contemporary art, and I love discovering that there's some artists that I really adore that actually made jewelry. So it's really is a sense of discovery and rediscovery for people who know about art and for also a great entry point for people who maybe don't visit museums.
Well, it really is representative of the art that they have produced in the range of their careers. Some of the pieces you look at it and you go, oh, that's got to be Picasso, or that has to be Man Ray. But some of them were kind of surprising. Can you paint us a verbal picture of some of the pieces that you love most?
Yes. I'll start with a Wilfredo Lam. The Wilfredo Lam is about 6 inches, and it's one of his horse mythological figures. So what you see in his big, important paintings, you're seeing in gold and silver. It's really amazing. Even has a tail and everything. The Koons has a little bunny, a silver bunny. Anish Kapoor is this wonderful plated, cylindrical sphere form. The Koons is this wonderful curved form that you immediately recognize this is what we're looking at. So there's a lot of that. Oh, of course, this is a Rauschenberg. Of course, this is a Warhol. But there's pieces like the Ilya and Emilia Kabakov that are made of precious stones. And you say, wow, this is really unlike that. So you wonder, what were they thinking? Why did they do this? So it works both ways.
It does work both ways. The Chamberlain, right away, you know it was his. And Keith Haring's Baby, right away. There was a piece by Yoko Ono, and I had no idea who had done it. But once I made the connection,
right,
I thought, yes, yeah, obviously that would be something that she would create.
Exactly. And Yayoi Kusama. And you see that immediately. Louise Nevelson. Mm-hmm. And, of course, let's not forget the Louise Bourgeois, the spider. There's a little spider that's very iconic in her work.
Now, you mentioned Diane Vanet as one of the curators, but the little cards indicate that a lot of the pieces came from her personal collection.
Yes. So she owns the collection as a collector, and she also then invites other collectors and galleries. So there are about 50 collectors involved in the show.
Well, we're heading into the spring, or at least that's what the calendar says. And what else do you have on tap for the spring and the summer months?
So in April, we open a show called Yves Sussman Rufus Corporation. It's an all-video installation show, and it refers back to historical works of art. So one of them, for example, 89 Seconds at Alcazar, is the very personal moments before you see the Velázquez Meninas posing for the famous photographs. So the little girl's wandering around, somebody's looking for her, the painter's getting ready. It's all of these comings and goings, and it's really a beautiful work of art.
In costume with the dogs.
Yes, ready to go, ready to pose.
Sounds great. In addition to great art, the Bass Museum offers great music. You've got Beats After Sunset, and jazz. Tell us about that and what we can expect in the coming weeks and months.
We do. We have a group of jazz aficionados that meet for Hot Nights, Cool Jazz. And that series is taken on, I think it's the 5th year. And this is a very loyal group. And we also have the youngsters that come for Beats After Sunset. And that's going strong as well. So in the future, we'll have a lot more adult programming at night.
Well, what's so great about the music is that you are up close and personal with the musicians. You not only hear the sounds, but you can watch what the expression on their face and the movement of their hands. Well, listen, we thank you so much for being with us today, and we wish you and everyone at the Bass a very successful upcoming season.
Thank you very much.
The current exhibition, From Picasso to Koons, The Artist is Jeweler, runs through July 21st. For more information, log on to bassmuseum.org or telephone them at 305-673-7530. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a television journalist and executive producer who has covered breaking news, politics, and the arts for WABC and CNBC. She has produced documentaries for WNET and is currently a contributor to WLRN-TV, Channel 17. It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the show, we'll welcome renowned chef Norman Van Aken with a word on food. And our Florida Keys calendar today features Andy Newman. The 5th annual Grand Slam, their semifinals and grand finals are coming up for South Florida's Dranoff International 2-Piano Competition. Charles Greenfield tells us more.
Since 1987, the Dranoff International 2-Piano Foundation has emerged as the top training ground and competition for 2-piano musicians worldwide. founded by Loretta Dranoff in memory of her husband, Murray. The Dranoffs were one of America's premier two-piano teams and performed around the U.S. and the world. For 25 years, the Dranoff International Two-Piano Competition has given invaluable aid to young prize winners, not only providing needed prize money, but offering management advice and innovative outreach programs. Since its inception, it has also sponsored over 11 new compositions to the two-piano literature. Now established as probably the leading two-piano competition worldwide, contestants come from countries as diverse as China, Japan, the Ukraine, Russia, Italy, and Bulgaria. Dranoff winners have performed from the Concertgebouw in Amsterdam to the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., as well as international music festivals, including Spoleto, Tanglewood, Salzburg, and Ravinia. So successful has the Dranoff competition become that majors in duo pianism are now offered in world-class conservatories like London's Royal Guildhall, the Manhattan School of Music, and the Hochschule in Stuttgart. Applicants are judged first by DVD. Semifinalists then are heard in live auditions in music capitals, and finalists come to Miami this May 11th through the 14th to compete before a distinguished jury. There are 8 teams from 7 countries. They have approximately 4 hours of repertoire, and about a third of which is compulsory. Winners receive cash prizes of almost $70,000 and concert engagements in Central and South America. Today, the Dranoff competition is the only two-piano competition accredited by the World Federation of International Music Competitions in Geneva, Switzerland. Recently, I had the pleasure to talk to the Dranoff Foundation's executive director, Carlene Sawyer, a native Miamian, about this year's competitions and the Dranoff Foundation's goals. Carlene Sawyer, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you, Charles. It's really wonderful to be back here.
You know, many listeners are somewhat confused by two-piano music. Could you explain the difference between two-piano and four-hand playing?
Yes. Well, the easiest way to think about two-piano music is that it's actually on two pianos. It's on two different instruments with two different artists playing across from each other. And something that's so interesting about two-piano music is that the music is actually written for that relationship between the artists who are looking at each other. And it's very interesting. I think it's kind of the core of ensemble music. Number one, because the piano is such an orchestral instrument with all those keys, all those notes. But when you put two pianos and two people together, you really do get that relationship. It's very different from four-hand music. Four-hand music, the musicians are sitting side by side on one piano. They are primarily playing one part of the piano, although that does, in some kind of spectacular physical types of acrobats, they're usually playing the lower half of the piano or the bass, or they're playing the upper half of the piano. And so there's a different division in the way the music is written. And with two-piano music, there's twice as many notes.
The two-piano literature has become more recognized both by the general public and composers themselves.
Well, that is definitely true. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But I really think one of the biggest reasons in the United States is because of Loretta Dranoff. Loretta Dranoff, when she started the Dranoff International Two-Piano Competition, believed that if you are going to have young artists playing music, you're going to have two-piano music that is added to the repertoire at the time they're coming into the field. And so that was her very, very, very first thing that she did, was make sure that the highest level of composers were composing for the Dranoff competition. And actually, these kinds of works, or the works that the Dranoff has commissioned by great artists like Morton Gould, William Bolcom, John Crigliano, Ned Roram, I think are also what has brought two-piano music back into the focus, because these are award-winning and very successful contemporary composers. These are the composers that are being played today. And so Loretta Dranoff got them to compose for two-piano music. And so you see great solo artists, you see conservatories, you see programs like at Lincoln Center in New York, and they think, wow, this is rich repertoire and we want it to be played, and it is being played now.
Well, before we talk about the finals coming up May 11th through the 14th, the Dranoff International Two-Piano Foundation has announced Piano Slam 5, May 2nd, Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at the Adrian Arsch Center for the Performing Arts. Just give us a real quick rundown.
Piano Slam, our fifth year. You know, Piano Slam, really everything that the Dranoff does is about the competition, about the young artists that we work with. They're conservatory trained. They're in the middle of their career, starting to play in great halls, playing primarily classical music. And all of our artists live all over the world. So we really wanted to be in the community, in the schools. And so we started bringing these artists from Tokyo and South Africa into the school, along with dragging 2 9-foot Steinway grands up some of the old staircases in our public schools and playing for the students. We found that the best way to get students to really live the arts and become part of the performance world today, to include them in that, was to have them do something about music, to do something with their experience about music or the classical music that Dranoff was providing for them. So what we did is we reached out, not everyone plays the piano, but we reached out to great community leaders, and we found poets, some local poets, and we brought them into the schools, and we got kids all over the county writing poetry about music. So today, there are thousands of kids who write poetry, they compete, and they end up in an absolutely crazily creative program at the Adrian Arsch Center for the Performing Arts. Classical music, hip-hop DJs, and great spoken word, both by professional local poets and by students across Miami-Dade County. And on May 2nd, all those artists will come together, the professional artists, our Miami Young Poets, and it's all for free at the Arsch.
Well, free is always very good, but when you have this much talent, it's even better. Now, the competition is in its 26th year. Let's talk briefly about the quality of the competitors and the fact that for the first time, the jury is not only great teachers and performers, but it's quite heavy with the Lincoln Center, Boston Symphony Orchestra. And I believe Gabriella Elena Frank is the Dranoff's first woman composer. Tell us a little bit about that very briefly.
I do. First of all, I think that people may not know. They may think that a competition is quite academic. But in fact, it's not. It's like a marathon music festival. The competitors come from all over the world. They come from conservatories. They come at the beginning of their performance career. And we have been to find these competitors in the great concert halls, in the great conservatories. We had live auditions in Beijing, in Germany, and then here in the Americas. And right now, we're down to the very top 16 performers who are from Korea and Japan and China and Germany. And they'll all be coming here to Miami to compete for the Dranoff competition, which is the top prize in the field. So these are already acclaimed young artists, but it's very high stakes for them. And it's very important for artists who want to have a touring and performing careers in the great concert halls. So these are the artists. They're very young. It's kind of like the Olympics. They've been competing all over the world to come to Miami-Dade County. And now they come to Miami with this huge repertoire. They're going to be performing in a festival type of setting. We'll each play over 3 hours of repertoire, and they'll be before a jury of really fantastic teachers and performers, as we see in John Perry, Bernd Getzky from Germany, Volker Stenzel, who is one of Europe's great two piano teachers and a former winner of the Dranoff competition. But this is the future of the Dranoff artists that are going to be here. So we've engaged many of the great presenters, the head of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, the head of De Singel in Antwerp, and then, of course, programming at Lincoln Center in New York. And so all of that is available for both the artists and the public here.
And there are 3 performance prizes. Could you briefly tell us about that? And then a brief mention of why you think listeners should be coming to these performances.
Well, first of all, the artists come for the jury that you just heard, but also there are cash prizes and there are performance prizes. And this is a very special year for the Dranoff. The Dranoff, as we talked about a little bit before, always commissions new works. And for the very first time, we have a woman composer of world-class experience, Gabriella Elena Frank, and she's our first Latin and Hispanic composer as well. She's composed for San Francisco Orchestra, the LA Philharmonic, and Verdun Upshaw. And so we're very, very happy to have her here. And she will be here, and there'll be a performance prize of her piece. We also have a very hometown interest in the Dean of the University of Miami, Shelley Berg, has written a piece commissioned by St. Martha's Concert Series for two pianos, and there'll be a performance prize for that as well. And then we have right here in Miami the daughter of Jerome Ross, the great film and the great Broadway composer who's celebrating his centennial, and there'll be a performance for that as well. And so there'll be these different artists at their very best and their most beautiful time in their life playing Mozart and Gabriella Lena Franck and Rachmaninoff. And there'll be such an excitement and a competitive edge to all of this. There's no other time in the world that you'll be able to experience it, and all of it live at the University of Miami.
Well, Carlene, I want to thank you so much for telling us about that today, and I'm sure that our audience will be rushing to hear these players. Thank you for participating on South Florida Arts Beat.
Oh, thank you, Charles. I'm really happy to be here at WLRN, and I'd like to tell all the listeners that you can find out more about the competition at the Dranoff website, which is Dranoff, the number 2, piano.org. And thanks again.
The Dranoff International Two Piano Foundation is integral to South Florida's cultural heritage. Its continuing influence in the two piano genre worldwide certainly is a matter of civic pride. South Florida classical listeners are truly in for major musical rewards as the Dranoff International Two Piano Competition completes its final rounds May 11th through the 14th. For ticket information, call 305-572-9900 and check their website at dranoff2piano.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you. It's quite an honor for us to welcome the renowned chef Norman Van Aken to the show. I know you're going to enjoy his segment, A Word on Food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's Word on Food, tacos al pastor. My restaurant crew and I were invited to El Paso, Texas, to cook at a conference held by Old Ways Preservation, a nonprofit organization based in Boston, Mass. Old Ways is one of the premier educational forums for focusing on healthy, culturally diverse, and historically respectful eating. They gather in various places around the globe with scientists, farmers, professors, chefs, and the food, wine, media to promote positive lifestyles. The first night, we had barely landed in El Paso when we were whisked off to cook at the old train station for over 300 guests. We had shipped almost all of our food on from our restaurant to try and make sure everything was as perfect as it could be, but it is still always a scramble. I was very excited to see the elaborate grilling station that some of the local chefs had put together to feed guests. The smell of Texan beef rose up like a lusty perfume, and the crowd did not hold back, sampling one stand's choice between classic and prickly pear margaritas. Despite all of that, we rose at 6 a.m. the next morning to cook brunch for the attendees at the Camino Real Hotel. We were set up in the grand lobby of the hotel. They rarely build them like that anymore. Labor costs just don't allow it. I was happy to be so steeped in the Western feel of the architecture, but I was there to represent South Florida. So we cooked my rum and pepper painted fish, pork Havana with caramelized plantain mash, and a key lime natilla with exotic fruit salsa. It was at times like these that I could get a better gauge on how our cooking, food history, ingredients, and flavors were similar to the Southwestern flavors being offered by some of my friends like Chef Dean Fearing and Stephen Piles out of Dallas, Robert Del Grande out of Houston, and Mark Miller out of Santa Fe. Finally, we finished our labors, cleaned up, and walked over the bridge past the border guards to Juarez, Mexico, and into a time that seemed more than 50 years older than when we entered the bridgeway. Dusk was falling. We hadn't had more than coffee all day, and we were ravenous. We stepped along the broken sidewalks, shopping for sustenance with our noses. Jaunty mariachi and accordion music punctuated the balmy air. Then we saw and smelled what would nourish us. A ramshackle little stand selling tacos al pastor, or tacos in the style of shepherds. These particular tacos were inspired by Lebanese immigrants who used lamb over a spit instead of the pork here, and herbs instead of a paste made from chilies. The thinly sliced pork is layered on a vertical device called a trompo, or a spinning top, and parked next to a gas flame. A pineapple sits atop the turning pork and drips down to sweeten and even tenderize the slowly cooking pork. It is visually as enticing as any cooking technique I have yet to see. We ordered and each got four little stuffed tortillas, which we devoured standing up against the crooked counter with America a quarter mile and many miles per hour away. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West Kitchen and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Tune in this coming Saturday morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear his next installment, The Banana Bread Man. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Great to have you back with us, Andy.
Great to be back with you, Ed.
Hey, what's going down in the beautiful Florida Keys?
We have a lot of events, and let's just get right to the schedule here. First of all, today is the first day of the 31st Annual Conch Republic Independence Celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Conch Republic was formed in April of 1982 when the United States Border Patrol decided to put up a roadblock at the top of the Florida Keys Overseas Highway. Folks in the Florida Keys and Key West were incensed, and they said, you know what? The government's treating us like foreigners. So they went ahead and seceded from the Union, then declared war on the United States of America, using stale Cuban bread, by the way, promptly surrendered, applied for $1 million in foreign aid. You know what? The $1 million never came. By the way, they figured out what the interest would be on that for the last 31 years.
Wow.
Never got the money, but I'll tell you something. The fame and the fun has lasted for many, many years now, and this Conch Republic Independence Celebration begins today. All types of wacky events. There's the Conch Republic Drag Queen Race. There's a bed race. There is a naval battle, and just 10 days of wacky and crazy events that really celebrate the eccentric spirit that characterizes the Florida Keys. By the way, there are also events in the northernmost territories of the Conch Republic as well, including a world record attempt in terms of the most number of conch shell blowers. So look on the Florida Keys website. It's flakeys.com for more information on Conch Republic Independence Celebration. We've got the Earth Day celebrations coming up here throughout America and, of course, in the Keys. Tonight in Key Largo, there's an Ocean Life lecture series that concentrates on eco-art. Down in Key West tomorrow at the Eco Discovery Center, an Earth Day movie festival. Also on Saturday, the 18th annual Earth Day celebration at Bayou Honda State Park down in the Lower Keys. Dolphin Research Center on April 25th is presenting the Earth Day Bridge Cleanup event. And then let's take a look at some other events in the Florida Keys. Key Largo, April 26th at the Murray Nelson Cultural Center. Friends of the Key Largo Cultural Center, they're going to be presenting Ellen and Gary Buxtel. It's an evening with a sister and brother singer-songwriter duo. In Key Largo the next day at the Murray Nelson Center, the Keys Community Concert Band presents the Young Musicians Concert. And since we're talking about music and we're talking about songwriters, big event in Key West, May 1-5, it is the annual Key West Songwriters Festival. This year, some very impressive talent lineup, and they include hitmaker Jeffrey Steele. His career to date has included more than 80 top 10 songs. Acclaimed guitarist and actor Gary Clark Jr., he's just finished the late night circuit. He's tremendous. Texas singer-songwriter Robert Earl Keen, world-famous headliner, two-time Grammy Award winner Rebecca Lynn Howard, legendary soul guitarist Steve Cropper, and Chuck Cannon, My gosh, this is some really top talent.
Wow.
That will be at the Key West Songwriters Festival, May 1 to the 5th. And talk about music? Let's roll a little bit of music here.
We had it all, just like Bogey and Bacall, starring in our own late, late show, sailing away to Key Largo.
Of course, Ed, Bogey and Bacall, Key Largo, and it's the inaugural edition of the Humphrey Bogart Film Festival. It is in Key Largo. It starts May 2nd. It continues through May 5th. A myriad of Humphrey Bogart's finest films will be rotating throughout different venues in the Key Largo and Alamorada area. There's going to be a big formal Bogart ball, a display of Bogart memorabilia, an outside screening of Casablanca, and special guests include Stephen Bogart, son of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and also Leonard Maltin, a very, very famous film critic and film historian, will be on hand as well. And a couple more events here before we leave you, and they include in Marathon, May 2nd to the 18th, the Marathon Community Theater will be presenting Moon Over Buffalo. The Dolphin Research Center on May 9th, it'll be their annual Ocean Day celebration. The Battle in the Bay Dragon Boat Festival, this will be in Marathon, May 11th. The waters off Sombrero Beach will be transformed into a very, very swift race course for a day of dragon boat racing. It's one of the world's fastest growing water sports. And then as we look into the summer, real quick highlights. First of all, July 4th to the 6th, upcoming, the Key Lime Pie Festival. That'll be in Key West. And on July 13th, the 29th Annual Underwater Music Festival. That'll be in Big Pond in the Lower Keys. And, of course, the annual Hemingway Day celebration, July 16th to the 21st in Key West. This year, Ed, I expect you to enter.
Yeah.
And, of course, for more information on the Florida Keys and all the events in the Keys, head to the Florida Keys website. It is flakeys.com.
As always, Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council gives us great entertainment, arts, and cultural suggestions. Thanks once again, Andy.
Always great to be with you, Ed.
This Sunday, the 21st, you can enjoy 4 hours of travel and music nostalgia on WLRN-TV Channel 17 en Español at 7 o'clock, Enamorados del Bolero, at 8:30, Destino America Caribe Colombiano, and at 10 o'clock, Los 100 Sones Cubanos. That's Sunday, this Sunday, April 21st, 7 till 11:30 p.m. on WLRN-TV Channel 17. And students, CultureShockMiami.com is your pass to the arts for really inexpensive tickets to music, theater, museums, festivals, dance, and more, such as the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center featuring India Jazz Suites tomorrow, Esperanza Spalding performing tonight at the Arts Center for the Performing Arts, the M Ensemble at the Lightbox at Goldman Warehouse in the Wynwood District, and many, many more, such as Sunday Afternoons of Music this Sunday at the Gusman Concert Hall on the U of M campus. For more info on inexpensive tickets to these and other great events, go to CultureShockMiami.com. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Judith Bishop, Charles Greenfield, Norman Van Aken, and Andy Newman. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax your information to us at 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend. Please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.